You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. We appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy as in the former president, John F., and the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. All right. It's been about a month since we've talked to you guys. A lot has gone on. NBA free agency has come and gone. Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers.
Eric Bledsoe is on the Pelicans.
Drew Holiday to the Bucks. We've had a lot going
on. That's the last one that we got. We got that one live.
You're right. All that being said, the biggest move that has not happened, James Harden. James Harden wants out of Houston. He didn't show up to work when he was supposed to. He was out there hanging out in Vegas with little baby Nim, you know, having all the fun in the world. He showed up looking fat as hell, too.
He did.
Like, he looked like a sack of laundry.
Well, they said he's sponsored by the Turkey Leg Hut now.
Oh, man. So, Kennedy Miller, what are your opening thoughts about James Harden, his trade request, and just the way he's handled this entire situation?
You know, I'm not really a fan. Let me say, for starters, I am a fan of player empowerment. You know, if a player doesn't feel like they're in the right situation or a good situation, I'm okay with a player wanting out, player wanting to go to different places to achieve their goals, win the championship, whatever. I'm not a fan of players not abiding by their contracts. So what I mean is, if you like the LeBron James and, you know, what Chris Bosh and all those guys did, when their contract was up, they decided these franchises have not effectively made enough moves to keep me here, to compete for a championship. So I'm going to leave. That's fine. Even guys that are a year away from their contract being expired, letting organizations know, like Anthony Davis, hey, I'm probably not going to re-sign with you guys next summer, so you might want to get something for me now because I'm not going to stay. I'm okay with that too, but people that are 2 years and out that are just like, oh, I want to get out of here, I'm going to demand a trade, and, you know, putting the organization on at a halt, really, is like, I really don't really like it that much. I don't really care for it. And I honestly feel like James Harden should look at it as they've literally done everything that you've asked. Every person that you didn't get along with, you wanted Mike D'Antoni, you approved of that. They literally catered to you. The whole city has given you pretty much everything that you wanted. And now that, since I guess they didn't consult you about hiring Steven Silas, and now you're upset about that and you want to trade, and or I guess you feel like you would play better with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I don't really understand that. So I think if he stays with Houston, I think they're going to be a good regular season team. I think they'd be the third best team in the West, because every year since he's been a Rocket, the Rockets are the only team in the NBA that have made the playoffs every year since what, 2012, since he got traded that year?
Yep.
He's going to get you to the playoffs no matter who else is on his team. But I think with John Wall, and we'll talk about, you know, his trade later, but I think with John Wall and them able to get a young guy like Christian Wood, a couple of weeks ago, it was looking like, what are the Rockets going to do? Like, they have no draft picks. They have no money. Their roster was old. And you knew that the James Harden, Russell Westbrook experiment wasn't really going to work. Now, is the roster now, you know, just like a favorite to win? No, but I feel like they made the best out of what they could do with the assets that they had. I had There was no way I thought they would get Christian Wood. And to get a guy like Boogie, to get a guy like John Wall, who you're like, we'll take flyers on them. We know they were once good. We haven't seen them play in a while. But if they can get back to at least what they were, you know that with James Harden, he's going to win you at least 44 games in the West. So if those guys can be any inkling of what they were, then you got something good going. So I don't think he just needs to rush out of town, and I don't think the Rockets should rush to trade him because he's still got 2 years. Your thoughts?
So I think the way that James Harden is behaving and the way he's like conducted himself the last couple of weeks, this is the kind of thing that happens when you've never been told no, right? And I think anybody that's listening that has kids, that's been around kids, would understand what I'm about to say. So my nephew is going to be a year old in about a week or two, right? And anytime I'm there, I'm always noticing when they tell him no, what happens, right? No, do not open the refrigerator. No, don't touch that. No, don't play with that. No, don't throw that. Right? And I'm like, that's just, you know, it's just a coaster. How come he can't pick up the coaster? And they'll say, you got to start now telling him no. Because you just let him, if you start with, it's just a coaster, it's just this, it's just that, just let that go and go and go and go and go. Until it's finally time to tell him, no, you can't do that. Then he's going to flip out. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what James Harden's doing. They've let James Harden dictate what time they practice, what time the plane leaves, when they practice, who's the coach, who's on the team, when they, everything. They've let him dictate every single thing. Every time James Harden has said jump, the Houston Rockets have said how high, and they've thrown a baby in the air. This time when he said, hey, Rockets, jump, trade me to Brooklyn, they were like, nope, we're staying right here. And James Harden did what kids do. They start throwing a tantrum. So James Harden like, know what, I'm not coming to work. So that's what this basically is. And that's why when you hear Harden say things, or, you know, it was reported that he, you know, felt like the Rockets culture was like the Knicks of the South. I'm like, how is the Rockets culture the problem when you're the culture? You're the culture of unaccountability. You're the culture of showing up whenever you damn well please. It's you. When Russell Westbrook was like, you know, the Rockets have the issue is a lack of accountability in the culture. That was a really nice way of him not singling out his homeboy, being like, I can't work with my boy no more. My boy been tripping. I can't do this with him. Because that's really what it was. I think that was like, yo, James is my boy. I love James to death. I can't work with him. So,
I agree.
And I think as far as James goes and his, you know, him wanting to be traded, I don't think at this point is anything personal with John Wall or Christian Wood or anybody else. He just don't want to be here anymore. Right? Like, I don't feel like it no more. So he's like, all right, I don't want to be here anymore. It doesn't matter who you bring in or whatever. I want out. And now the thing about trading him is going to be, where can you send him? Because James wants to go to a team, I would presume, that's going to contend for a championship. But on the Rockets, their biggest concern is, can we get the players necessary, meaning a young cornerstone, good quality rotation players, and picks? And on the other hand, what team has surplus assets in terms of young players, rotation guys, picks that they can give up to get James Harden and still have enough to contend? Like, who's that other than Boston and Denver, maybe?
Right. My thing is, because I remember when, and Kyrie Irving was in the same situation, he had 2 years left on his deal. Obviously, me being a LeBron James fan, he demands a trade. That's fine. Okay, like, if he demanded a trade, I'm like, okay, get him out of here. But what I do want is what you said. I want a cornerstone player. I want picks. And maybe even a young player. And that was for Kyrie Irving. And that was 2 or 3 years ago. The biggest obstacle that teams are having now in terms of inquiring James to come to their team is Drew Holiday just got traded for 3 first-round picks. So if Drew Holiday gets 3 first-round picks, James Harden is going to demand a lot more on the market than that. And that's insane to give up. That's almost crippling to give up for a franchise to give up that many. However, if I'm a team that ain't got no sense of direction, James got 2 years left on the deal. Like, it's not like a 1-year rental. He probably ain't going to stay there. But if I'm like the Sacramento Kings, am I ever going to get a James Harden? Like, am I ever going to stumble into like another Chris Webber that I had? Like, when am I ever going to get another superstar? Why not take a 2-year rental? You know, if I'm the Knicks, when's the last time the Knicks been good? Like, I don't see why they wouldn't take a chance. He going to get you to the playoffs in the East. You never know. But in terms of the teams that he's looking for, or the teams that you're asking about, you know, all these reports are coming out, and I believe them too. All these reports coming out about James and all this stuff. But you look at Brooklyn wants him. Who's the assistant coach at Brooklyn? Mike D'Antoni. Philadelphia wants him. Who's the GM in Philadelphia? Daryl Morey. Okay, so it's not like he's just unbearable where nobody wants to touch him anymore. He's still a top five player, and he knows that either of those places, he could very well put them over the hump to be champions. And I don't understand why people aren't on the table, like the Heat. I don't care about Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero if I have a chance to get James Harden. I could understand Bam. I could understand Jimmy Butler. I don't give up. I'm at home. I'm at home, so I can't. If Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson are what they're asking for, I'm giving it up. You know what I mean? Like, if Michael Porter, and I know Michael Porter has a chance to be really special. He has a chance to be really special. But, Alex, you're a guy that you're a practical thinker. It's not good when a young, tall guy injures his back that early.
Feet.
Exactly. It's not good when they get hurt that early. If I'm the Nuggets and I just saw what this core did, specifically Jamal Murray and Jokic, and I said to myself, if we could get another guy to take the ball out of their hands and make and score a bucket when they can't do it, why would I not take a top five player? Why wouldn't I?
Now, I think, and you make great points. Now, I think there are other places that I think James isn't looking at or considering, or that aren't considering James, because I think those places have an infrastructure where they have it set up to where it's not going to be James does whatever the hell he wants to do, right?
Right.
So, like, a place like Houston, they've let James do whatever he wanted, right? Because they were like, you know, we've never had a guy, we haven't had a guy this good since Hakeem Olajuwon, essentially. So we're going to just let him do whatever, right? Most places, that won't work. Like, if James Harden in Miami, I don't think will work for a couple of reasons. Number one, leaving James in Miami, number one, is a big problem. Right. I can see him at Live on Sundays, King of Diamonds, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? But the biggest reason it won't work with him in Miami is one man named Pat Riley. And Pat Riley ain't going to put up with that. Like, people can say whatever they want about, you know, LeBron James, you know, trying to run teams, this, that, and the third. Yo, when LeBron went back to the Cavs a second time, that was LeBron's team. He had Dan Gilbert by the belt loop, right? But LeBron tried that same sort of stuff in Miami, and D-Wade was like, whoa, hey, bro, you got to understand this. Hey, this ain't my team. Right. This ain't your team. This Pat's team. We don't – that's not going to work here, right? Like, two places where, like, you doing what you want won't work. Miami with Pat Riley and San Antonio with Greg Popovich. Like, those two places, yo, you ain't about to just be out here – dictating to me what we're going to do. Like, that's not going to work there. But I do think James, he has to figure out what he wants. He has to figure out what he wants his legacy to be. Because, like, if James Harden retired right now, James Harden's legacy would be that of a great scorer. And that's it.
Yep.
Like, that's all we'd say. Hell of a scorer. Period.
Great regular season player. It's just the fundamental question that we've asked over, you know, the years that we've been on this show. Give me one big playoff game James Harden has won. That it was like, what is James' iconic playoff moment? You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have one. Going by Rudy Gobert in the first round.
I think if we'd have to go all the way back to Oklahoma City when he made that step back three on Ginobili when they played San Antonio that year.
Game six, and yeah.
That's it.
The time he blocked Lou Dort's or last year. But, I mean, it's like those are series and what Oklahoma City won, He wasn't the main guy. He was a pivotal piece, but he wasn't the main guy. But like a series against the Jazz and the Thunder, you weren't the it wasn't expectation that you might lose. If they lost to the Thunder, do you know how bad this would have been? This offseason would have been for them if they had lost that game seven. You know what I mean? And like, he's a great regular season player, great scorer, puts up all these points, and you're harder on him than I am, because I do think some of it, like I think that 2018 they were the second best team league, and they just lost by not adjusting. But they, if not for a juggernaut, probably would have been champions. But it's just I don't get James, because you remember he would have, you know, that season he would have games where he's scoring 40, 50, and then he, you know, they got footage of him after the game. He's working out, doing a full workout. But then you're finding out these stories, and he's very Rodman-esque, and going to the club, and he's not the only superstar. I don't know why people are that appalled. He's not the only superstar to do this, but it's not. And then he comes into training, and he's huge. He's fat. Like, it's like, James, do you really? It makes you question, do you really care about winning? Or do you just care about the fame and the stats? Because you can put them up. You can put up numbers in his sleep. But does it contribute to winning? Because like you said, in Miami, the one thing that people always say, that they say, we don't do that here. Even with LeBron, they had to corral him, and you can't just run things like it's your own organization. We don't do that here. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it.
My last thought, and we're going to go to break right after this. I think wherever James goes, James has to ask himself the question, does he want to be held accountable? Right? He has, like, that's the critical question he has to ask himself, because every time someone's tried to hold him accountable in the last 10 years, he's pushed back and gotten them traded. Right? Chris Paul was like, yo, can James not please stand at half court when I have the ball and I'm trying to initiate the offense? Like, and I can understand why Chris Paul was furious, because he was asking James Harden to do the bare minimum. Bring your black ass across half court. Look interested.
And it's not like it's a wild take. It's literal footage. There's footage of it all the time. If he doesn't have the ball, he's standing there. And sometimes he's not even in the camera. That's how far back he is.
There's that sort of stuff. And then, you know, Russell Westbrook's complaints of James being late to film, James being late to practice, them giving James excused absences from practice. And they said when they were in the bubble, James waited until the last possible moment to take his COVID test, and he was late for film. Yep. And they said Russell Westbrook was like, come start the film, let's go. And they said, you know, Mike D'Antoni was like, you know, when James comes in, we're just going to restart it. He said, I don't care, let's go start the film. Like, And I think, like, that's the big thing gonna have to ask of James, right? Does James want to go somewhere else and just be pampered and be babied like he was here in Houston, right? Because that's why I think he wants to go to a place like Philadelphia or a place like Brooklyn, so he can get treated the exact same way, right? Like, I don't think James legitimately wants to be coached hard. Like, that's legitimately what I think. I think he wants to do whatever he wants to do, and, you know, consequences be damned. But he'll never ever win like that. Ever. We're going to leave it right there, but we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast. Coming up next, friend of the show, Tobias Bass of the Opinionated Six Man Podcast, will join us to talk about James Harden, to preview the NBA season, maybe talk a little bit of college football, all that and more on the other side of the break. Don't go too far. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Sarah, M as in Mother. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, _Kennedy as in the former president, John F. And the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy, _KennedyMiller_.
All right. Joining us right now as a guest here on the show, our good friend Tobias Bash, the opinionated six man podcast. Tobias, how you doing over there, my man?
I'm doing well, man. Just watching this Chargers Raiders game. Justin Herbert, he's the real deal.
Last segment, we were talking a little bit about James Harden. So, Tobias, how do you see this whole thing ending? Do you see this ending up with James in Philadelphia, him in Brooklyn, or elsewhere?
I don't think he'll be in Brooklyn. They have enough assets to give to the Rocket, but I don't think he'll be in Brooklyn. Philadelphia makes the most sense, but I know they said Ben Simmons he's off the table, and I know that Darren Moore, he wants to see if he can make Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid work, but maybe there's a dark horse team in there that no one's really talking about right now that's after him. People keep talking to me about the Nuggets. I don't see it. They already said MPJ is not available. And would you rather have a 21-year-old MPJ who's significantly cheaper or a 31-year-old James Harden? I think you would pick Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. The Heat, they're always in the market for a big superstar. Their name's going to be tossed around in there, but they've done so well trying to, you know, financially get themselves. Well, Giannis is gone now, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But I think they like the team that they have. I don't know if Jimmy and Harden would necessarily mesh together. So we could be seeing that this could be one of the last times you see James Harden in the Toyota Center as a Rocket. But honestly, I have no idea where he's going to. I feel like there might be some dark horse team that isn't going to get involved late.
So, Tobias, do you think that those teams truly believe they can win a championship with the roster they have right now? As in the Nuggets and the Heat?
The Heat do for sure. I think the Nuggets, the thing is with the Nuggets is they have time. They're very young. I mean, their best player, Jokic, I don't even know how old he is, but he's what, 26, 25 years old? He's very young. Michael Porter Jr. is 21. Jamal Murray is like 22, 23. They have time. So they'll be okay. I don't know if bringing in James Harden and getting away rid of all your young assets is the key. So they have time. For the Heat, they just went to the finals. Some people are saying it's kind of a fluke or an anomaly, which I don't know if it's a fluke, but they did just go to the finals. I mean, if I'm them, I don't know if I want to blow up that young core, because you're going to have to give up Tyler Hero for sure. Kelly Olynyk, he doesn't do anything just to make salaries work, but you're going to have to give up Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson is the best, cheapest player in the league. I don't see how he's not involved in that deal. So, and you're probably going to have to give up the point guard, the one that finished
Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick Nunn, you're probably going to have to give him up too. I don't know if I'm in the business of doing that, so I would stay away.
My thing is, and what I said earlier, what I was talking to Alex about earlier, this is a top, at the worst, top seven player in the league. Why would I not, if I'm a team like Miami, they made it to the finals. I don't really think it was that much of a fluke, but looking at the moves in the East, I don't even know if I'd put them top four. And so I don't know why I wouldn't try and go all in on a team that just made the finals to try and win a championship. If I'm Denver, yeah, you got a lot of time, but how many times have we said these teams are young, they got a lot of time to play together, and then it just blows up all of a sudden or something happens? Oklahoma City had a lot of time and it didn't work out. So I think when you're on the cusp like that, you got to make a move.
I agree, but with the Thunder is they ended up going to a final. Their talent was a little bit different. All three of those guys are capable of running their own team, and as you see, they've all went elsewhere. And what, all three of them are MVPs. Three of them are going to go into the Hall of Fame. So their situation was a little bit different. I mean, Denver, not only do they have time, the best teams in the West are old. LeBron's old. He's playing at a very high level. He's the best player in the league, but he'll be 35, in a couple of days, 36 in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. AD is still there. The Clippers, they're both their star players, are in their 30s. Steph Curry, he's 33 years old already. Klay and Draymond are in their 30s. The West is the better teams in the West. They're old. So you look at 2 years out, Jokic won't even be 28 yet. Murray will be 25, 26 years old. Michael Porter Jr. will be a child. He'll be 23 years old. Their timeline is a little bit, they're already really good, but their timeline is different. I mean, they've already signed their guys. Murray's already been signed on the contract, and Jokic. MPJ, he has a couple of years left. And as for the Heat, I don't, if you look at, like, for example, Duncan Robinson last year, statistically, percentage-wise, he had the best catch-and-shoot season in the history of the NBA.
Yep.
He shot, like, what, was it 48%, something like that, catch and shoot. The second and third place guys, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they're not even in 3 to 5% of that number. I don't think I want. He's super cheap right now, and you have control of him. You have a team off. You have control of him for at least the next couple of years. Tyler Hero, he was going to his second. You have control over him. Bam, you're gonna have to pay Bam, but the Heat would probably make the most sense because since Giannis re-signed, they don't really have to worry about their cap space anymore because he's already booked up. The Heat would make the most sense, but if I'm them, I am not trying to give him Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson or Chris Dunn. But maybe if you only see that, if you see Tyler Hero as a one, maybe two all-star, you know, career type of guy, then I think you can make the move if that's how you view him.
I'm giving up Tyler Hero. I'm giving up Tyler Hero and Duncan.
You can. You can.
I mean, it's reasonable. I mean, to think of that, the thought is, all right, will Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero ever, individually or collectively, be as good as James Harden ever was?
That's fair.
And the answer to that question is no. And so if that's the answer to that question, then I'm going to put a rubber stamp on you and I'm going to send you wherever, right? Mm-hmm.
So what about depth? I mean, you take away Duncan, Nunn, Alene doesn't do much, but whatever, and you give up Robinson, and losing four guys, I don't know if Mo Harkless is going to be able to give you good minutes off the bench. Avery Bradley is solid. I don't know if Avery Bradley is doing what the rest of those guys are doing.
That's a
I think if you're like, if the argument on James Harden in Miami is about fit and culture, I think that is. It's totally warranted because he does not fit. But if what's holding you back is not trading Tyler Hero and or Duncan Robinson,
yeah,
I think Pat Riley's a little off his rocker. I would do it.
You're right. I mean, one, from a culture standpoint, that was going to bring it up next. He just he doesn't fit the culture.
He doesn't fit
about
it.
But we're just talking about strictly basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're getting a top five player in the league, I think you need to be in that business regardless of what you have to give. Longer is not insane because you're not touching Jimmy, you're not touching Bam. And maybe Bam, maybe Jimmy and Harden can get along. I don't think they will, but you put Harden on that team, they're going to be the best team in the East. Like, you have
boom, bingo.
You have an MVP player, a rising superstar in Bam, and you have a super awesome guy makes the all-star team every year and Jimmy Butler. I think they would be at the top half, they're better than the Bucks for our talent, but I don't know if the depth really became. We know Harden, he plays well with shooters. I don't know if I trust Malik Harkless to be shooting a bunch of threes.
True. That's fair.
Because Jimmy already can't shoot and Bam's not a shooter, at least not right now. Where are you getting shooting from? Yeah, Harden's gonna do his thing, but where are you getting shooting from? We know what the star players are gonna do, but what about the role players?
So with the NBA season on the horizon, what team or player do you think will surprise people? Breakout player, breakout team.
Team in the East, I really have two teams. I don't think the Wizards are as bad as people make them out to be.
Bingo.
Russ is Russ. I mean, as much as we poo-poo on Russ, he's still an MVP. He was a third-team All-NBA player last year. He does really piss me off at times as a basketball fan. But he's still a top 12 player in the league, like top 13 player in the league. He has to be. I might even be missing a couple of guys. He has to be up there. He's a 13 All NBA player. If he's not in the top 12, he's definitely a top 15, 16 player in the league. Roughly, definitely in the top 20. Wherever you want to put him, let's just say top 20 to be fair. He's a top 20 player in the league. Bradley Beal with Klay Thompson being hurt, he's what, the second best shooting guard in the league. I think that's fair.
I agree.
Definitely
with
in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
You have Troy Brown. He took a big step forward last year. Thomas Bryant does some good stuff. I need him to be tougher, but he's definitely gotten better. You got the Latvian Laser. He can shoot the hell out of it. I love his game. They don't have a bad team. You have Scott Brooks and Russell Westbrook. They've worked well together in the past. They're not as bad as people want to make them out, and I think they're a playoff team. The A spot next year, you're going to be looking at teams like the Magic, the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Wizards. I think the Hawks will be a playoff team, but that A spot is going to be very, very, very tough, and I'm very interested to see how it finishes out.
No, it's biased. I definitely agree with you. That's my sleeper team. Yeah. I don't know why. I think the Wizards, I think that's a match made in heaven for Russell Westbrook because it's surrounded with shooting, and it's also another guy that we know can put the ball in the bucket and what average 34 a whole year by himself. Yeah. So, you know, what this last stretch before, you know, the bubble and COVID, he looked really well, really good with the Rockets. When they fully spaced the floor, they had shooting. Now, I mean, Thomas Bryant isn't, you know, any PJ Tucker, but he's also not Steven Adams either. You know what I mean?
Right.
And to get, I can't even, Davis Bertans. To have Davis Bertans, who, you know, you talk about Duncan Robinson and his ability to shoot. He's like top five. He was like top five last year in like percentage or something.
He's
like
one of the best shooters in the league. Yeah, he's a good shooter. Lavie and Laser. That's his name.
And so he's playing in the East. Like I said, he's playing with another guy, Bradley Beal, who can take the scoring load off him. He's played with a coach that he's already played for. I think they're going to, you know, I think they'll be, I said they'll be AC, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had a really good regular season over some teams that we predicted to be better than them.
Yeah, they definitely have a good team. I just want to see what the fit. And I think that Washington, I think DC, they're going to really embrace Russ because, you know, they love John Wall. They love
him. Right.
I think the city's really going to embrace, you know, Russ because he's a very, very, very hard worker. I think he's going to have to stop taking bad jump shots and, you know, he has a talent on the team, so I don't think that'll be an issue. We're going to have to just gel and work with him. But I think he's honestly happy. Like, he looks happy. It seems like every player that leaves James Harden, they just have a big smile on their face. They seem just a lot better mentally for whatever reason.
Once again, we're talking to Tobias Bass of the Opinionated Six Man Podcast. So, Tobias, the last time we spoke to you, you had Hugh Jackson, former coach of the Oakland Raiders and the Cleveland Browns, on. Tell us some more about some of the guests you've had on since the last time we've spoken.
You said I had Hugh Jackson on. I brought on T.J. Ward, former Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowler with the Browns. He won a Super Bowl with the Broncos in 2015. He was their starting safety. I've had on today. I posted a podcast with Ken Lucas. He's a former defensive back for the Panthers and the Seahawks. He led the NFC in interceptions twice, I believe. Pretty decent. He's a good family friend of ours. Next week, I'm bringing on Fred Jones. He won the 2004 dunk contest. I'm bringing him on next week. We're going to talk some ball. I've had on Brian Kalbrowski. He's a guy that he's an NBA reporter for Hoops Hype. Really, really smart guy. And that's really who I think I've had so far. But all of them been great guests. You know, they're a lot of fun to talk to, just learning about those guys and their experiences and just getting to know them and talking. Really talking more about football, so I'm having mostly NFL guests.
All right, Tobias. So before we get you out of here, let folks know they can find you on Twitter, Instagram, all your social media, and where they can find your podcast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Tobias_Bass. That's TOBIAS_Bass. On Instagram, that's TBASS43. And my podcast is Opinionated Six Man. Can you find it on Spotify and Apple? I'm also thinking about, I'm going to start a YouTube channel soon, so be on the lookout for that as well.
All right, Tobias, we appreciate it, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Y'all have a great show, and y'all are one of the best in the business, man. I'm definitely going to bring you guys on my show very soon. I've been just hella busy between working and doing this, but I'm definitely going to bring you guys on. Y'all have one of the best podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis. Keep up the hard work, both of you guys.
Appreciate it, Tobias.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. And we're going to take a quick break, but we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast. On the other side of the break, Kennedy and I will break down who we think will make the playoffs in the East and the Western Conference. Don't go too far. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin. TSM again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. Again, that's T as in Tacoma, S as in Seattle, M as in Maryland. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, _Kennedy as in former President John F. And the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy, _KennedyMiller_.
All right. Big thanks to our good friend Tobias Bass from the Opinionated Six Man Podcast from joining the show. But right now we are on our last segment of the program. And because the NBA season is up on us, Kennedy Miller, we're going to pick the top 8 teams from each conference. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to start off in the Eastern Conference. Katie Miller, who you got?
1 through 4. I'm going to say my number one team in the East is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay.
They probably had the best offseason, maybe of anybody in the East. They surrounded Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid with shooting, which is what we've all concluded that that's what they need to optimize their success. They brought in a new coach that's going to hold them accountable, Doc Rivers. They brought in a new general manager who's not afraid to make big trades, and Daryl Morey. So in theory, I think they should be the number one seed. Last year I had them making the finals, and I was totally wrong. So we'll see how that goes. I've got Milwaukee number 2. I think Milwaukee is always going to be a great regular season team because they have a juggernaut in Giannis. They have a play style which is very tough to game plan for a night before, that's always going to win them a lot of games. I don't think it's going to translate to the playoffs again. I do love the moves of Jrue Holiday, Bobby Portis, DJ Augustine. I think they got better. I don't know if they got truly competing for a championship better.
Okay.
Until Giannis makes the next step. Third team, I got Boston. I don't think they really had to do much. They needed a big. They got Tristan Thompson, which isn't bad. I think he'll be solid for them. And I think Boston is still just, you know, a really well-coached team. They might have 2 all-stars this year. Well, they might have. No, I would just say that they're going to have 2 with Tatum and probably Kemba. But Jaylen Brown could also make an all-star game, so you never know. My fourth team, I would say, are the Nets. I don't think I can push them any lower than 4 with KD and Kyrie. You also got guys like Dinwiddie, LeVert, Jared Allen, DeAndre Jordan. I watched, you know, the first quarter and a half of their first preseason game. Didn't look like they missed a step, you know what I mean? And so I think they're going to be a really good team. I think they're a team that are definitely going to have their bumps and bruises throughout the regular season, trying to acclimate themselves with one another and then, you know, mesh well with the rest of the team. Caris LeVert needs the ball. Spencer Dinwiddie needs the ball. So I think come towards the playoffs, they'll be really dangerous. But if we're just going regular season, 4 seed, 5 through 8, I would say Miami be 5. It really sucks that they lost Jay Crowder, but I think Mo Harkless is kind of a discount version of him and also got him cheaper and younger. They got Avery Bradley. They stole Avery Bradley from us. I was a proponent of bringing Avery back. I really liked Avery Bradley and what he brought for us in the regular season. I think he fits them perfectly. I do question, though, they have a lot of guards. You just paid Avery Bradley. You re-signed Goran Dragic. You got Kendrick Nunn. You got Tyler Hero. You got Duncan Robinson. I guess Jimmy Butler's a wing, but where do you have minutes for all these guys? But nonetheless, I think they're still a 5th seed. I think Toronto's a 6th seed. Championship experience, yet again, as they always say. I think Nick Nurse, we've acknowledged on this podcast, is a hell of a coach. I just think they really need a superstar. You know, they re-signed Fred. They lost both their bigs in Marcus Gasol and Serge. But they brought in Aaron Baines, and I feel like they brought in somebody else. But, you know, they're still a Pascal Siakam is a really good player. He's a really nice player. He's not a superstar. And that's just the problem that they have. So that's where I have them. And then my last 2 spots go to the Washington Wizards for all the reasons that I named when we had Tobias on. Russell Westbrook gets more shooting. 2 all-stars in the East. Bradley Beal is on the come up. He's going to be a guy that people learn more about. The general NBA fan that didn't watch the Wizards this year because he's playing with Russell Westbrook, and then they have a lot of shooting and good continuity out there. And then the last team is the Atlanta Hawks, who probably feel like they won the offseason getting Rondo, getting Chris Dunn, getting Gallinari, and just creating more space for Trae Young to operate. Now, I don't know how they're going to guard, but I do know that it's going to be tough on a lot of teams to come to Atlanta on a weekday and outscore those guys with Trae Young having that much space to operate. So those are my 8 teams.
All right, so I'm going to disagree with you a little bit at the top. So I think Milwaukee gets the 1 seed. The last couple years, Milwaukee has been a great regular season team. I think that's going to continue. Their issue has always come in the postseason. And does Giannis have a move other than I'm just going to Buffalo my way to the basket? That's going to end up being their biggest issue, but I think the regular season they'll be fine. They're a well-coached team. They have a lot of continuity. They like each other. So I think they're going to be just fine. And the fact that they do not have Giannis's contract situation hanging over their head anymore, that'll just ease a whole lot of pressure off the organization, in my opinion. So second, okay. I'm going to go Miami at two.
Okay.
And I'm going Miami at two there. I think that's a group of guys who like playing with each other, like playing for each other. Jimmy Butler's in a good situation. I think, you know, they lost Jay Crowder. That's going to hurt him a little bit. Dragic and Bam are going to be back. You know, they were hampered in the finals, right? Like, we did not get to see what that was actually going to look like with a healthy Dragic and a healthy Bam. I think those guys are going to be back. Those guys are going to be just fine. They're going to keep everything rolling the way they had it in the bubble. Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, good role players. They've got them. Boston's got a really good team. And Boston's had a lot of talent for a long time, right?
Right.
Gordon Hayward is going out, and I don't know if I'm crazy here, but I don't think they lost that much. Like, you still got Brown, you still got Tatum, you still got Marcus Smart, you still got a lot. Kemba, Brown, and Tatum are really taking those steps forward. They're really – Philadelphia is a weird team for me, man. Like, they've got a whole lot going on. They have so much going on. New general manager, new coach, will Ben Simmons – will he or will he not be traded – you know, there are all these different questions. Is Ben Simmons, you know, is he living up to the hype? Ben Simmons still can't shoot the damn ball. Ben Simmons still won't shoot the ball, right? Can Doc Rivers figure that out? And also, just chemistry-wise, can Doc figure out how to get everybody on the same page? Because one problem Doc's had in L.A., it didn't matter when he had Chris Paul. It didn't matter when he had Kawhi and Paul George last year. And on every team he's had when he was in L.A., they had problems with dudes not liking each other. And he did not seem to be able to figure that out. And Daryl Morey is a guy who, on every team Daryl Morey's in charge of, there were problems with dudes not liking each other. All right? So I think that might stop them from winning some games. You know, Brooklyn, I've got them at five just because, in my opinion, I don't know what Kevin Durant looks like yet. Right? Like, full, you know, I know we've seen some preseason games, right? I don't like to, like, really, like, take a whole lot of stock into that. Like, how does that look, you know, day in, day out on that Achilles? How is that going to work? And also, like we discussed earlier in the show, big guy, tall guy, 7-footer, feet, knees, back.
Correct.
So how is this going to work for Kevin Durant? Also, my other problem is Kyrie Irving, he's made of glass. So is he going to make it through the season? Right? And then my biggest question mark about Brooklyn, Steve Nash. Does he know what he's doing? Can Steve Nash coach? Like, can he manage Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant? I think that's going to be something to look out for, but I still think they're going to be the 5 seed there. Toronto at 6. Like you said, they do not have a superstar. You still got Kyle Lowry. You still got Van Vliet. Siakam, I think, is a very good player, not a great player. I think Siakam, his ceiling is probably around that Jimmy Butler level, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
So, you know, in losing Gasol and Ibaka, that's really going to hurt them. They were able to keep Van Vliet. But the thing about Toronto and what they've really done well over the past 7-8 years, they have developed players very well. So I think they're going to have more players. Just like Siakam popped up out of nowhere and was really damn, really good. I think the same thing's going to happen again with some guys we've just not heard of that have been at the end of their bench. So I think they're going to be just fine, a good playoff team. I think they're probably going to be a second round out at absolute best. But, hey, lastly, I'm going to go with Indiana. I'll go Indiana.
Okay.
Indiana was a playoff team. T.J. Warren, Malcolm Brogdon, Depot's still there, Miles Turner's still there. Like, they made it to the playoffs last year, and they got swept, and they fired Nate McMillan for reasons that I didn't understand. The last team I'm going to put in is Washington. Because the West
had. You don't have the Hawks getting in?
I don't have the Hawks getting in. And it's just because they can't guard anybody. Who are they going to guard?
Okay.
That's just my biggest. Okay. And they've got the talent. They've got. The Hawks are going to have Bogdanovich, going to have Gallinari, going to have Trae Young, John Collins, Shire. They're going to have dudes that can play. That's fine. But I don't think they're going to be able to get enough stops to get into the playoffs. So I'm going to give my last slot to Washington.
But think about how more entertaining a first round matchup of, say, like Milwaukee and the Wizards would be than just watching Milwaukee just pummel the Magic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so tired of seeing Vucevic and Markelle Fultz in the first round and Aaron Gordon against Giannis. Like, at least with Russ and Bradley Beal, you would think they could maybe steal a game or two. You know, they ain't got nobody to guard Giannis. But they're more exciting than a Magic team that just struggles to score the basketball. Like you said, they got Russ, Bradley. They got the young fella, Hachimura, Bertans. They got that guy, Denny Abija. I can't even say his name. They didn't even expect him to fall that low. He was supposed to be like a top four pick, and he fell all the way to ninth for them. So if they can get anything out of him that what they project to be a top five pick, man.
So we're going to switch it to the Western Conference, okay. Kennedy Miller. Give me your top eight.
Top two are the L.A. teams. Lakers won. I think I said it earlier. I think this might be the best team top to bottom that LeBron has ever played on. If you're just looking at the roster, we'll see how it all pans out. We'll see who's healthy. We'll see how the chemistry works. I think this is the best team he's ever played on. I think the Clippers, they did get better. They did not address their point guard situation, but getting Serge over Montrezl Harrell is an upgrade. I think the third team, I guess all these standings are based on the rosters right now. The third team is the Houston Rockets. I think James Harden has plenty to work with. I think John Wall is a better fit. I'm glad they've given up their no centers and brought in some actual bigs. I think it's going to help. Rockets 3. I've got Phoenix. I think Phoenix is much improved, obviously, with Chris Paul. Devin Booker is going to take a leap. I think Chris Paul is going to make DeAndre Ayton the most improved player in the league. They got Jay Crowder. There are questions about their bench, but you can say that about half the league. So I got them at 4. I got Denver at 5. I have them so low because I feel like they got worse. They lost Torrey Craig. They lost Jeremy Grant. They lost Plumlee. I don't think they got better, but I think they have a young core, like Tobias explained earlier, that is set for the near future. So I got Denver at 5. I have Dallas at 6. Josh Richardson, Luka is probably going to be an MVP candidate. When Porzingis comes back, they're going to be lethal. And they kept most of the rest of their guys. So I think that they're going to be pretty good. 7, I would say Golden State. How can we not put them in? You know, how can we not put them in there? Steph is going to be back. Draymond is back. They lost Klay, unfortunately, which is terrible. But I think them getting Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins, they're not the shooter that Klay is, but you're still replacing them with surrounding Steph with guys that are 6'7 and long and athletic. And so I think if you can do that and they can hit a league average on threes, they'll be all right. So I got the Warriors at 7, and I got the Utah Jazz at 8. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Bogdanovich, they're going to get in the playoffs. So those are my 8.
All right. I think our top two teams, we're going to agree on that one. I think Lakers coming back with LeBron. I think you can make the argument that the Lakers are the two best players in the NBA. You can argue that, right? Yeah. They've got LeBron, who at this point is an ageless wonder. You know, I think the big key with the Lakers is going to be LeBron's health, right? Like,
right.
Throughout LeBron's career, this is year 17 for him. He's not had one of those big injuries yet, right? Most guys, they start playing 15, 16 years. They have an injury that kind of expedites the fall off, right? We saw it with Kobe with the Achilles. So if LeBron can stay healthy, I think this team is definitely probably the best team in the Western Conference. Second, the LA Clippers. Now, this is a group of dudes who I think they're going to have the most to prove, right? Because we know how talented they are. We know how good they are. We know what Kawhi Leonard can do. We know that dude's big time. We know he's a baller. Paul George, come on now. As talented as he is, and I think legitimately when people just rag on Paul George, I think it's legitimately out of disappointment. Because when you watch Paul George play, there are times you're like, oh, yeah, dude, he's the best player on the floor. Like, there's no question about how good he can be. He can be the best player on the floor during a playoff series. He just has to do it and do it consistently and stop talking so much. That's what he's had. That's what he's got to do, right? You get Ibaka. That's a good move. You bring back Morris. They've got good pieces. And they're still a really deep and really talented basketball team. Ty Lue's going to have to figure out a way to get them over the hump. That's just going to be that thing.
Really quickly, Alex, I wouldn't be surprised if they smacked us next Tuesday in the mouth on opening night. I would not be surprised if they just came in and whooped us. Go ahead.
My third team, I'm actually going to go with Denver.
Okay.
Go with Denver. I think they're going to be riding high off of that playoff run they had last year, right? Jamal Murray really came into his own during the bubble. Jokic lost some weight. Jokic is looking real trim. He's looking real good. You know, now he's a little bit more mobile, you know.
Yep.
Get up and down the floor a little bit better. I think that'll help them out. They did lose Torrey Craig. They did lose Jeremy Grant. But they got Jermichael Green, right? Got another good player.
Yes.
Right? Like, I feel like the Nuggets just collect these rotation players. He's like, who's that dude? He's like, oh, he's all right. But, like, as a group, they're better together than the sum of its parts. All right? You still got Michael Porter Jr., who I think is going to be special. I legitimately think Michael Porter Jr., like, had he have not hurt his back when he was at Missouri, he would have been the number one pick in that draft.
I agree.
That good.
I am so sorry, and I must apologize to my fans on the Upper West Coast. I don't know how I left Portland out of my top eight. Utah's not making it. Portland's the eighth. Go ahead.
It's all good, man. The West is tight. The West is real tight. That's so tough. And I was going to say that the difference between, you can argue 6 and 11 is negligible. So I think Dallas is going to be fourth, right?
Okay.
Luka Doncic, I think, takes another step forward. Josh Richardson, like you said, I think they've got a great coach in Rick Carlisle. Underrated coach in a lot of ways. Like, people don't really think about Rick Carlisle as a great coach. We don't mention him when we have these who's the best coach in the league discussions. Everybody mentions Greg Popovich or Brad Stevens. People rarely, if ever, mention Rick Carlisle. We got to give him his flowers just a little bit more. I think fifth, I'll go Portland at five, because I think Dame, CJ, and I think Covington. Getting Covington matters.
That's a really good pickup for them.
Getting Covington matters. You get yourself a defensive wing. You still got Nurkic. So they've got a really good roster over there. Phoenix, I think, makes the playoffs. Chris Paul is going to be like, just shine some magic dust, that veteran magic, just to help the doggone Phoenix Suns get back to the playoffs for the first time since I was in the ninth grade, right? The thing hasn't been, the problem hasn't been for a lack of talent. It's just been, the organization has just been going in circles, going nowhere fast for 10 years. So Devin Booker, very good player, great score. I think Chris Paul's going to be like, hey, we need to win. DeAndre Ayton, I think one of the two or three best young big men in the league as well. Was that six or seven for me?
I think that was six.
Okay, that was six.
You just went Portland, Phoenix.
Okay. So seven, I'm going to go. Matter of fact, that's who I was forgetting. Let's move some stuff around. Let me put Houston at five. And back everybody up a slot. Right? I think once James Harden gets himself back in shape, once he stops going to Turkey Leg Hut, once he stops drinking Hennessy like it's Kool-Aid, he gets himself back in shape, they'll be fine. Like, they've got good. The thing is, you know, as long as Harden's there, they're going to be able to make it to the playoffs. Now, do I think John Wall gets them over the hump and makes them a contender in the stratosphere of the Lakers and the Clippers? I don't. Like, I don't know. Like, coming off the knee and coming off the Achilles, can he hold up consistently? Can John Wall make jump shots? And most importantly, will John Wall be irritated with James Harden by the time all this is over with? And will he be asking, yo, get me out of here? And most importantly, the Houston Rockets are running an offense, guys. They're not just out here playing basketball like it's middle school, eighth grade A team. Just hand the ball to James. So more offense, more movement, more motions, and actual tall guys on the team. That'll help too. So
just for clarification, you got both LA teams.
Yep.
You got
Denver, Dallas.
You said Denver.
Dallas. Houston.
Portland.
Phoenix. I'm going with Golden State at that A slot. I think the championship DNA, the championship experience. Steph's going to play the full year this year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. You get James Wiseman. I think that'll help. Young, big guy. I think he's going to be really, really doggone good. You get Kelly Oubre, a good defensive wing. He won't be able to provide an approximation for Klay Thompson as far as a three-point shooting. But he's got long arms and he plays pretty doggone good defense. Andrew Wiggins, he irritates my soul. He really does. Like, all it seems like Andrew Wiggins knows how to do is score points for Andrew Wiggins and nothing else. Right? But I think they're going to be a tough out for anybody. Like, that's a group you don't want to see. Because it's like, all right, yeah, that's Steph. There's Draymond. They've got guys who've been there before. They've got guys who know how to win.
Just for clarification, we both had the same 8 teams, just in slightly different orders. But we both had the same 8 teams going. So, teams that did not make it.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep.
Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm. No Memphis.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
Ain't nobody worried about the damn Timberwolves. They've been sorry. They have been. Bro, it was like Kevin Garnett left. They were sorry for 12 years. Jimmy Butler shows up. They're a good basketball team. Jimmy Butler cusses everybody out and leaves, and they're back being sorry. Like,
yep.
And the most irritating thing about that is Karl Anthony Towns might be one of the most gifted big men I've ever seen.
He's good. He's really good.
It's infuriating how good he is.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Yep. Memphis, really good team.
Your San Antonio Spurs.
See, my thing about San Antonio is this. Like, I really can't point to you why they weren't very good last year. Like, there's no, like, tangible reason you can point to. Because the year before, first year without a Hall of Famer on the roster in 30 years, and they won 49 games. Right? So you're thinking, all right, you're going to get DeJounte Murray back because he missed that year, the year before with a torn ACL. All right, they're going to be just fine. And then, you know, they couldn't figure it out. I think they're going to do a little bit more up-tempo, you know, playing a little bit faster. LaMarcus Aldridge shooting a couple more threes. I just got to see with my Spurs. I got to see. I'm hopeful. And you know what? I've never in my life said something like that about my San Antonio Spurs. I've never been hopeful we'll make the playoffs. I always just knew we was going to make the playoffs because it was three things right. I knew. Three things I knew in my life, Kennedy Miller. Just three things. Death, taxes, and the Spurs are going to win 50 games. I knew that.
Yep.
I knew that to be true. And last year was the first time that didn't happen. I was like, I didn't know what to do with myself during the playoffs. I was like, this definitely feels weird.
Yeah, it's crazy seeing the Spurs not being, like, you know, a juggernaut.
Absolutely, man. Like, but hopefully we can figure something out. Hopefully we got a couple of decent young guys. You know, they say Pop's going to loosen things up and, you know, just play a little bit faster. So hopefully we can sneak in there.
A lot of Spurs fans are high on that pick this year. I think it's Devin Vassell.
Yeah, Vassell. I like Vassell.
Yeah, a lot of it.
I don't think he's going to play much this year, to be honest with you. Like, Pop doesn't play rookies very much. They always end up in the D League basically for a year. And then that second year, they do a lot of playing. So I don't expect to see much of him. But San Antonio does have a pretty decent, like, team. You know, thinking Aldridge, DeRozan, former All-Stars. Very good players, not great players. Rudy Gay, decent scorer, good defender, veteran presence. Patty Mills, great three-point shooter. DeJounte Murray, long, athletic, young point guard. Derek White, long, athletic, two guy, right? They've got guys that can play. The thing is just going to be, can they put it all together?
I agree.
And we are out of time, everybody. We're going to have to leave it right there. But Kennedy Miller, my man, I appreciate you for hanging out with me, dog.
I appreciate you for inviting me, my friend.
So where can they find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that?
_ Kennedy Miller _. _ Kennedy Miller _. At Kennedy, as in the former President John F. and the former wrestler Mr. Kennedy _ Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast, and we will see you guys next time.